sanctification, and this is one that we have looked at before, so we try to be as brief as possible on it, but don't want to miss it. Sanctification. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then skip over to verse number 26 and read through verse number 31. The doctrine of sanctification. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Skip over to verse number 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, Father, I pray that you would add the reading of your word, you'll add the blessing to it. And God, I pray that you would work a great and mighty work tonight in our hearts. Help us to learn. Lord, I pray that you give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. The folks here, help them to yield to you, to be able to learn. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. If there's someone here tonight without Christ as Savior, I pray tonight they would be saved before they leave the building. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sanctification is probably one of the most misunderstood doctrines that we're going to deal with. A lot of people, when you mention the word sanctified, they attach the word some kind of weird fanaticism to, or excessive vices in the realm of religion. But we're going to look at a couple of basic errors and then three words tonight. We may not get any further, but tonight we're going to look at error number one, sanctification. When you think of the word sanctification, what enters your mind? Some people think sanctification means improvement in practical holiness. Improvement in practical holiness. Now, if so, when the Bible speaks, and we're going to look at some of these scriptures tonight, when the Bible speaks that Christ was sanctified, or God is sanctified, then how can you improve on perfection? If it is improvement in practical holiness, then when it says God is sanctified, you're saying God can improve. And so it can't mean that. Not in the realm that we're talking about God the Father and God the Son. And both are mentioned of being sanctified. Now, error number two, when you think of sanctification, some people think of it this way. Sanctification, a state of holiness in which it is impossible for the child of God to sin. Now, some people think that. They call it the second blessing. It's like reaching an elevated point in your life to where once you step over that line, you'll never sin again. I've talked to those folks, and I've mentioned it to them, and I've talked to them about the fact that the Bible says we have a sin nature. But if you believe in what we call total sanctification on this earth, then you believe also that the sin nature is eradicated. That means it's wiped out. Well, error number two is wrong also, and I think what you have to do is just consider the overall message of 1 Corinthians, from chapter 1 to the end of the book. And it's talking about a church beset by every form of doctrinal, practical, and moral error. If you read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, both together, you'll see that Paul corrects this church more than any other church in the New Testament. It has every mistake in it that a church could have, and it seems to major on them. And this is the people that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2, they're sanctified. Verse number 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So, if it is a state of sinless perfection, then Paul made a mistake here, and God let him do it. because it's talking about the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth is full of error, and God says, no, you're sanctified. Now, error number one, improvement in practical holiness. Error number two, a state of holiness in which it is impossible for the child of God to sin. Now, three words we need to look at before we look at the word sanctification or the idea of sanctification. Number one, sanctify. Number two, holy. And number three, saint. The word sanctify is used 100 times in the Old Testament. It is used over 30 times in the New Testament. And every time it's used in the Old Testament and every time it's used in the New Testament, with word usage and context, it means to set apart. That's what it means. It's the easiest thing in the world to understand. When it says sanctify in the Old Testament, it's saying to set apart. When it says sanctify in the New Testament, it's saying to set apart. That's a Bible language dictionary definition of sanctify. It means, well, let's look at John chapter 17. And I think that you'll see it more in just looking at the scripture than me trying to explain it some other way. But in John chapter 17, verse number 18 and verse number 19, we see a statement that Jesus made. Now, if sanctify means to set apart, it doesn't mean to be holy or to progress in holiness. It just simply means to set apart. Now, I believe every Christian ought to be holy. We'll look at that word in a moment. I think every Christian ought to progress in holiness. I think that's true, but the word sanctify doesn't exactly mean that for us today. In John chapter 17, verse number 18, the Bible says this, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, look at verse number 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, he's saying, I sanctify myself. And if the word means improvement in practical holiness, then Jesus is saying, I've improved. Now, let me ask you something. How can you improve on God? How can you improve on Jesus Christ? You can't. He was perfect. And so the word can't mean practical holiness improved or perfection, even though Jesus Christ is perfect. It simply means he was set apart for the Father's use in a certain task. And we see what it was there. It says, and for their sakes, whose sake? He was talking about his disciples, and he's talking about us. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart to God the Father's use, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, Jesus Christ was set apart for God's glory to save us. And the Bible says because he was set apart, then the people who say are also set apart for God's glory. And so the first word is sanctify. We're set apart to reveal God to the world. In Hebrews 10:9, the Bible says what Jesus came for. He says, I come to do thy will, O Lord. He set himself apart to do the will of the Father. He was set totally apart for God Almighty's sake. So the word sanctify means to set apart. The second word, holy, H-O-L-Y. The word holy is used over 400 times in the Old Testament and over 12 times, I think 13 times, 12 or 13 times in the New Testament. And the word holy brings the connotation to set apart from that which is unholy. It means to separate something holy from something that is unholy. It's the root word that we have in the Bible for the word sanctification. The best illustration in the Word of God for that word is Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 26. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 26. I want you to see it. Hebrews 7, 26. Turn there if you have an Old Stiffness Reference Bible. It's page 1297. The Bible defines its own words in most cases. In verse number 26, it says, for such an high priest became us, and goes on to say, who is holy, and then it qualifies the statement, harmless, undefiled, and then it gives three words, separate from what? Sinners. He was holy, he was separate from sinners. He was undefiled. He was set apart from sinners. And so the word holy simply means to set apart from unholy to holy. All right? In our case, we're set apart from unholy when we get saved to walk on streets of gold. We become the next word we'll look at in a moment, saints. Jesus Christ was set apart from sinners. He came in a physical human body, but one of absolute perfection as far as man can become. But he was also God in the flesh. He was the same. He identified with man, but he was also separate because he knew no sin. He never sinned. He never thought of sin. He never followed temptation. Oh, he was tempted in all points, the Bible says, but he had nothing inside of him to succumb to that temptation. We have a betrayer, which is called the sin nature. So when the temptation comes, we have to yield to the Spirit of God so he can overcome the sin nature in us. So, sanctify, holy, and then the last word is saint. 62 times in the New Testament, the children of God are called saints. It's the commonest New Testament word that represents the child of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, you can turn there if you want, it just says sanctify. And it's talking about the saints in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1:2, let's look at it together. It says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, I want you to notice something. To be is in italics. Doesn't change the meaning at all, but you could read it just like this. Called saints. Called saints. And so the Christians in Corinth were called what? Saints. And we see that over and over and over again in the Word of God. Now all three of these words, sanctify, holy, and saints, all three words deal with being set apart for God's use. Set apart unto God, set apart from sin, set apart to walk on streets of gold. To sainthood. You're a saint if you're saved. You're not a saint to me, even though I'm a saint. You're not a saint to me, I'm not a saint to you. We're still sinners saved by grace, but in God's eyes, we're saints. We are set apart, and that's what the word saint means. In God's eyes, we're undefiled. Now, we want to look at three aspects of the believer's sanctification. I believe we have time to do that. And I've gone through this before, but this is sort of just a reminder. The first aspect of the believer's sanctification, or setting apart. Remember, keep that in mind. We've gone through it before, but I want you to keep it in mind. Sanctify means set apart. And the first aspect of a believer's sanctification is what we call positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. I think the best illustration of that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. This means our position in Christ. Positional sanctification. Our position in Christ. Corinth was one of the most immoral and lewd cities in New Testament days. It had a great temple to a prophetess of a heathenism. And that temple had temple prostitutes and male prostitutes. And they built everything around lewdness and sexuality and promiscuity. And they did it in the name of quote-unquote God. And it had such a sordid past. And these folks in the church at Corinth were called out of that. And that's what Paul is approaching here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers in the of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse number 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. Now who is he addressing? He is addressing the children of God in the church of Corinth that he has to rebuke in this book. Look at verse number 19. Who is he writing this to? He's writing it to the same people he's speaking to in verse number 11. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He had to remind them. They were Christians, And they were not perfect, but God says, all right, you're sanctified. Why? Look at verse number 11. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We talked about justification for 2 weeks. Just as if I've never sinned, just as if you've never sinned, that's justification. And God says, in your position in me, you are set apart. You're my children. That's why you cannot practice verse number 9 and verse number 10 effectively and have any happiness in life. Why? Because you're different. You're set apart. You're sanctified. Sanctified. Positional. Sanctification. They lack the practical holiness, the practical godliness, and practical righteousness, but positionally, they were sanctified in Jesus Christ. Now, we know, if you read the entire book, and we're going to study it someday, in 1 Corinthians, this church was full of discord, strife, division filled the church, full of heresies, immoralities, but the people that were in the midst of this church were called, what? Sanctified. They were set apart. They were set apart. How? Because this is the result of the saving grace of God. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says it was a completed work. They were sanctified, past tense, and it was through the offering of Jesus Christ. And so, positional sanctification. Let me read you a verse out of Hebrews. The Bible says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified, set apart through the offering of Jesus Christ. It was a divine work, and it doesn't depend on your abilities. And so, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 24 quickly, and we'll go to the next aspect of sanctification. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 24. Set apart, sanctify. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is positional sanctification. Every one of you. We all together have the new man in us. And it is completely holy. It is God's representative. It's our new nature. It's God's nature in us. And that makes us positionally set apart for God. So that's positional sanctification. That's in the past. That happened at Calvary. That happened when you got saved. Now, secondly, experiential sanctification. This is a day-by-day process. This has the idea of letting an experience conform to that which is invisible. This has the idea of, all right, so you're positionally set apart, and God says, now, show it. He can't. Nobody can. I don't mean to say he can. God can. Nobody can see your inside. And if they could see your inside, it wouldn't be very attractive. If they could see your physical heart, they wouldn't like it. If they could see your gizzard, they wouldn't like it. If they could see your kidneys, they wouldn't like it, or your veins. But what he's talking about, the new man in Ephesians 4:24 is in you. Now, let it come out. And that is experiential sanctification. That's in the present. That's day by day living. Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That has the idea of letting it come out, putting it forth, yielding to God and letting the new man take over, letting the fruit of the Spirit be the rule of your life, and let people see Jesus in you. Work it out. Let it come forth. Show it forth. And you do that by yielding to God and letting him live his life through your lens. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice. That's all part of experiential sanctification. That's saying, God, I lay myself on the altar. You've given me a position in Christ. I'm a saint. I'm holy because of what you did on Calvary. Now, let it shine through. Let me show it forth. Let me show people that you've set me apart, and let me be fit for the master's use. That's experiential sanctification. And that's working out your own salvation, showing it forth, letting people see that you have Jesus Christ in you. Now, Romans chapter 6 also deals with experiential sanctification. Experiential sanctification. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13, page 1198, if you have an Old Stiffler Reference Bible, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I'm told, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'm told that the word yield there in Romans 6:13 is the same word present in Romans 12:1. Simply present your limbs. Present your arms and your legs. Present them to God. Yield your members, and that is experiential sanctification. That's a day-by-day process. You ought to do more for Jesus Christ today than you did yesterday. And you ought to do more tomorrow than you do today. It's a day-by-day process. It's a growing process. The Bible speaks of growing. Now, if you yield, the result is freedom. Freedom. Look at verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You know what it's saying? The child of God, if they allow themselves to yield to unrighteousness, is in for an early death. Now listen to me. And they're not free at all. They're servants to the sin that they yield themselves to. Liberty only comes through obedience to Christ. That's the only way you can be free. Obedience to Christ. And so the Bible says we are experientially sanctified. Practical holiness always will manifest itself. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. This is what it's saying there in roundabout terms. It's talking about progressive sanctification. But grow in grace. That's what it says, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Do you know what? Walked into this building, one person. Do you know you ought to leave another person a little bit closer to Christ? Growing. You ought to grow because of a Bible message, because of Bible fellowship. You ought to be that much more obedient to Christ when you leave here as when you came. And every hour of every day ought to be that way. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You came. You say, all right, teach me something if you can. You listen. Then you walk out the door. How do I know that you've learned it? And how do you manifest that you've learned it? Can anyone tell me? By doing what you learned. Right. That's it. If you don't do what you've learned, you've never learned it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's what the Bible says. Progressive sanctification means each time you read the word of God, you come head on with God. And he wants a change effected in your life. He wants you to be closer to him. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. Growth. Grow in grace. The Christian life is a growing life. If you're saved at the age of 6 and you live to be 650, there's still room for growth. Every person, when you quit growing, your Christian life will dry up. Mark it down. I don't care how long you've been saved. You have to keep growing. Growth is healthy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18, the Bible says this. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that is simply the word mirror. That's the mirror, the New Testament times. The glory of the Lord are changed, listen, into the same image from glory to glory, even as by what? The Spirit of the Lord, God's police officer. You know what it's saying there? You get up in the morning, you look into the mirror, and you see what you see. When you come home at night, when you look into that mirror, you ought to be conformed just that much more to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. And the work of the Holy Spirit progressively sanctifies you. It continues to work in your life. Work out the bad. Work in the new. And it sets you apart continuously, day by day, growing in grace. You look into the mirror in the morning. You look in it at night. The next morning, you ought to be that much closer to the conformed image of Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. And so that's progressive sanctification. Now, of course, we sin. And God says, all right, you have an advocate, even Jesus Christ. It says in the Bible, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Living in unconfessed sin stops the growth just like that. It stops. You don't grow past that. That's why we need to walk in close fellowship. Now, let's look at one more and then I'll finish. Ultimate sanctification. There is the past sanctification. The moment you got saved, you became a saint of God. There is the present sanctification, the progressive sanctification, day by day growth. And that will happen until Jesus comes. And then the third one, the ultimate sanctification. Someday, you will be perfect. Someday, you'll live in sinless perfection, but not on this earth. Only when you come face to face with Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2. Three more scriptures and I'm done. 1 John 3:2. The Bible says this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, if you go over just one more book, I guess you'd have to go through 2 and 3 John, but in the Epistle of Jude, the Bible says this. Jude 24, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you, look at this, faultless. Someday God Almighty will have me presented to him faultless. That's my ultimate sanctification. Faultless. No crack, no crevice, no imperfection. This is after the judgment seat of Christ, when I'll be purged. I'll be presented faultless. So will you if you're a child of God. It says, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And then one other verse, Ephesians chapter 5, talking about the called out assembly, the body of Christ. Ephesians 5, 26, it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, verse number 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, and not talking about this building,